Well, hey everybody, welcome to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church's online worship service. My name is Josh Erickson, and it's my honor to be spending this time with you whenever you might be watching it. Hey, if you're new or newer to our church or to our YouTube channel, we hope you'll take a minute to subscribe to our channel and maybe even hit that bell so that you get a reminder every time we publish a new video. We do a new online service every week, and sometimes there's other special videos too. Well, with our time together today, or whenever you might be watching it, I'm inviting us to get a glimpse of what it looks like to have a counter vision to the world around us when things are going so harshly that we don't know what to do. And there's this beautiful story in the Old Testament that helps us to get a glimpse of maybe what God wants us to do every day when we face these challenges. Assassinations and idol worship and warfare and famine and other challenges like that, sexual crimes perpetrated against women, and war, kind of just all out war. I say these things, and you might be thinking that I'm just scrolling through the news feed on my phone or social media, or just thinking about the last few years around us. But actually, if you take that list, it comes from a book of the Bible. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you might be like, that makes sense. I know there's a lot of stories like that in there. But for many people, you might be surprised to hear that there's those kinds of stories in the Bible. And not just in the Bible at large, but actually all of those come from one particular book of the Bible, which is called the Book of Judges. The Book of Judges is one of those Old Testament books that is really interesting, and it's actually where you find the story of Samson and Gideon, Samson being one of the most famous stories in the Bible. But what's crazy about the book of Judges is that it's a part of the Old Testament that is telling a story of the struggles of the people of Israel they were having. On the political and geopolitical historical side, it was them going from being a small nation to sort of a formal nation where they would eventually have a king. So it was a storming and norming. But in the midst of it, it is a rough story of all the bad things that can happen to a group of people. It's a condensed version of the rough times that they went through. Now, they being Israel, the people of Israel, had many, many challenges that they would face. And as they went through these times, people were probably depressed and people were probably very upset and very confused because many of them probably thought God had abandoned them in different iterations of that story. But probably a lot of people were wondering, well, if this is how it's not supposed to be, do we have an idea of how God might want it to be? And that's where the book that we're going to take a look at over the next couple of Sundays and time together comes into focus, which is this book of Ruth. Now, if you have heard the books of the Bible in order, you'll know we get to Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And Judges and Ruth are intentionally put back to back because one casts a vision of how much struggle there can be, and the book of Ruth casts a counter vision of what it looks like when people are living and loving like God wants them to. And we're going to explore this for a couple of weeks together because we need a glimpse of a counter vision for us as well. But when things are going so tragically around us, whether it's in current events or even in personal spaces when we have these problems. So let me tell you a little bit about the story of Ruth. It begins with a family in Bethlehem, which should sound familiar because that's where Jesus was born. And there's a family whose husband's name is Elimelech and the wife is Naomi. And the struggle they're presented with at the beginning of the story is there's a famine in the land of Judah. And so they leave to go somewhere else where they think there's going to be food, and they go to the land of Moab. Now they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. These are some crazy names, I know. And they end up meeting and marrying women of Moab and starting their life together. Well, as the story unfolds in the book of Ruth, it's very sad, but the father, Elimelech, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, die, and there's another famine in the land of Moab. And that's where we kind of hit the part of the story where Ruth enters. Now, Naomi then has these two daughters-in-law, one's named Orpah and the other one is Ruth. And they have a choice, the three of them. They can either stay in the land of Moab, where no one is obligated to take care of them, or they can go back to Naomi's people and have a chance to be cared for by her kin, by her folk. And so she tells them that she's going to go back to the land where she's from, to Judah, and that they don't have to go with her. She's going to release them from the obligation of family because there were no children or grandchildren to be dealing with. And she said, you should just go back to your people and start over. She has a little joke in there. I've gotten so old that even if we move back and I can help you find sons, that I can't give you sons to remarry. Because the promise then was that they would remarry her next kids. It's how it was, a little odd, but we take it for what it is. And then Orpah and Ruth are faced with a choice. Do they want to stay and start over, or do they want to go back to the land where Naomi's from? So here's what happens. Orpah makes the choice to stay. She says, I love you, but I'm going to stay. I'm going to restart my life. And she walks off into the sunset, and we never hear from her again. But Ruth, on the other hand, says, no way. No way am I going to abandon you. No way am I going to just let you go and be on your way and never hear from you ever again. She says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go to your land. And one of the beautiful parts of Scripture says, where you go, I will go. Where you go, I will be. Your people will be my people, and my people will be your people. She makes this pledge of fidelity and loyalty to Naomi. And at the end of what is Ruth chapter 1, they find their way on their way back to Bethlehem, back to Judah, to try to unwrap the next part of their story together. Now, to lay the groundwork for what happens there, we want to hear that story. But what we have to catch a glimpse of there is this beautiful moment where Naomi is trying to do what's right in her mind by the people she cares about, and the girls are doing the same. But Ruth displays this greater sense of love and compassion that is needed when things are struggling. In the moment, what happens, right, is Naomi does what she thinks is best for Ruth and Orpah. She says, go on, go home. I'm going to take the sacrifice for you and let you be. Orpah gets a blessing and she goes, but Ruth says, that's not what I'm going to do. Ruth, instead of saying, letting Naomi make the sacrifice, the personal sacrifice that is well worth making, she says, no, I'm going to be mutually committed to you, and you are going to be committed to me, and that's how we're going to move forward. And that's a beautiful countervision to me of what could have happened otherwise. And to me, and what we hear in that scripture, perhaps can speak to us in our present age, that that's what we need more of when we have the struggles. Maybe what we need more of is people that are willing to not just make a sacrifice for the sake of others, but a community full of people who are willing to make mutual sacrifices for one another, because that's what's actually best. It's great to have people who are willing to sacrifice for someone else, and we need that, especially for people who have more and need to give of themselves. But also on the flip side, we actually do better when there's mutual support for one another. When we give and take, and we give and take, and it's mutual. It doesn't work when one person or one group just gives and gives and gives. But what does work is when there's a mutual understanding of if I do what's best for you, and you do what's best for me, then we survive and thrive together. And that's a vision that is there in the beginning of Ruth, that this sense that God is calling them into a deeper relationship with each other is a sense that we can follow that as well. So when we're facing the challenges of our lives, and whether these are things that we see in the news, read about on our phones, or are experiencing in the personal circumstances, the thing that I want us to take away and be encouraged by in this story is the good thing that we can do is sacrifice for someone else. But the best thing we can do is be mutually loving and supportive of one another. Now, so often, I think when we find ourselves struggling with the current events of the day or the struggles of our personal lives, we just don't know what to do. And we are overwhelmed, we're bewildered, we're so frustrated, we feel stuck, we can't influence the things that we really want to, or whatever it might be like that. So that's why it's so important to take a good long look in our personal individual lives as well. Because when we do that, we get a better sense of what we can do in the moment. And think what happens here, right? If you and I and the people you care about and the people I care about, if we're actually in a mutually supportive and mutually loving and a mutual sacrificial relationship of the kind that's healthy, then you know what happens? We meet each other's needs. We help people experience hope. We help experience peace and love and joy because we're making these things happen for each other. And all of this happens only because it's the vision that God has for us. It's the counter vision to the world around us. And we need to keep this front and center in our minds because there are so many ways in which we are bombarded with alternative visions, alternative stories, alternative realities, it might even feel like. But when we focus on the one that God gives to us, we have a better sense of going our way forward, how God wants us to. And we won't be as overwhelmed by all the challenges that we are indeed facing in our daily lives and in the world around us. This is a vision that we capture at the beginning of Ruth, and there's so much more that comes in the rest of the story. I've been reminded recently of just how important it is to be in a mutually giving relationship. I've been doing some work with some other pastors and having an opportunity to do some things around alongside them. And as I've been growing in these relationships and having an opportunity to do this work that's before us, I've been giving quite a bit of myself. And what I've been experiencing in the last few days is a mutual giving back, where others are engaging and are providing and supplying more into what we're doing together. And I can tell you, it's better when that happens. Now, there's a part of this where I have to ask for help or they need to offer. We'll get to that at another time. But what I can say is it is the best way forward for all of us. When we are seeking to be mutually loving and mutually caring of one another. So when we think about what difference can we make, let's focus on that. Let's give so that we can give to others. And let's make sure that they are giving also. When we live in that kind of mutual way, the world is better and we have more of God's hope in our lives. Would you please pray with me? Holy God, we are grateful that you are a one who speaks to us. We're grateful that you are the one who gives us a sense of a vision for the future that is one that is different than the one around us. And God, as we seek to be people who live into your call to love one another, to be mutually supportive of each other, God, we thank you that you have given to us the greatest example of this in your love for us as seen in your Son, Jesus. God, we ask that you help us to lift up these stories that inspire us so that we might be people who are acting out a greater sense of your calling in our lives. God, we lift up to you the struggles that we're facing in our daily lives. We lift up to you the struggles of the world around us. And we ask that you help us to be people who are willing to take on the next step that's in front of us so we can bring mutual love and support into the world that needs it so well and so much. God, help us to be as faithful as we can with what you've given to us to do. We pray this in your name. Amen.